The Corsican Brothers, from the novel by Alexandre Dumas. Louis has decided to return to France with his friend Pierre Godet, there to collect all his furniture and effects and move them across to Corsica, where he intends to spend the remainder of his life. He has just made this announcement to Madame de Franchi, who sits at Marianne's bedside.
But Louis, will the journey be too much for you?
I feel better, truly I do.
Well enough to make a journey across to Toulon? Another journey by coach to Paris?
I can rest the night in Toulon.
But you tire so easily these days, the result of what you've been through.
But I want to do this. I want to show Mother the lovely things I've collected in the last 5 years. The gilt chairs, the carved mirror. Wait till you see it, Mother. And a canary in a cage. Not a live one, but a gilt one which sings when you turn a handle.
A gilt bird singing?
Yes, Marianne. It will be for you. One of my wedding presents for you and Lucien.
Oh, Louis.
It's very rare. There are only two in existence. And the notes of the bird are so sweet, so pure, so lovely, almost as though the canary were alive. Someone said you can't tell the difference between the song of the real canary and my gilt one. He's like me somehow. He can sing like others of his kind, but he can't fly. Like him, I'm in a cage. A cage made of my own illness.
I still feel that you are not well enough to travel, Louis.
But I feel impatient, knowing that all my effects are across the sea and that you should be receiving the advantage of them. There are some rose-colored curtains, hand-worked, with pictures of peasant France. You'll fall in love with them as soon as you see them. And a pianoforte.
A pianoforte?
Yes, a walnut pianoforte with motives inlaid in a lighter wood. Fawns and nymphs and masks and flowers. The most wonderful work you've ever seen.
Hardly believe it, Emily. You're wonderful.
And then my husband said that I looked so beautiful when I was tearful. Oh, Annette, I'm so happy. It's a magnificent feeling that you know how you can play with the will of your husband, drawing it this way and that as you please. It gives you a sense of power to know that you have power over a strong man.
But he really believed you?
Of course. Annette, will you please lace me at the back? My waist is not small enough.
But Emily, it's too tight already.
I must have the smallest waist at the opera tonight. This is the most important night of all. And I wear my black velvet and pearls. I vow there'll not be another woman in the opera house tonight who can match pearls such as mine.
And this is a dress rehearsal this morning, eh? You fly high, Emily. So quickly and so high that it almost takes my breath away. When I think of you, not 12 months ago, with a doting fiancé who had very little money...
And now one of the wealthiest women in Paris. Now, you haven't heard all the news, Annette. I was told secrets last night. My husband has sailed 3 cargoes which are fabulously rich, and which have been enough to buy us almost a kingdom. But I shall not forget you when we stand high here in Paris. Tonight will be the first of many reminders in Parisian society that the Chateau Renaud are to be reckoned with. Oh, tighter, please, Annette, tighter.
There. Why, Emily, your waist is smaller. And look at me next to you. Just a sack of flowers standing by the hourglass.
Meanwhile, Pierre Godet and Louis de Franchi, who had set off from Corsica 2 days before and had stayed the night in Toulon, arrived in Paris on this very day. Pierre, who was passionately fond of the opera, soon learned that an opera was to be performed in Paris, one of which he had heard a great deal. He discusses this event with Louis.
If I'd come a day later, I would have been horribly disappointed, Louis. I've heard so much of this opera, Lucia de Lammermoor, yet I've never seen it.
Has it been performed in Paris before?
No, in Naples, yes. But this is the first performance tonight with a new prima donna. Oh, it'll be a night of nights. You must come, Louis.
No, Pierre.
But why not?
I've changed since I've been in Corsica, away from people. Crowds, I mean. I don't want to see them anymore. I know what it will be like. The women smelling of perfume and powder, glittering hard in their diamonds and softened by their feather ferns, and the men measuring women up as horses in a stable.
Louis, you sound so embittered. Oh, please, Louis, come tonight. Try and recapture a little of the old Louis that I knew. A happy, heart-free Louis.
I'm frightened.
Why?
She may be there.
She? Oh, you mean Emily?
Yes.
All the more reason why you should come, since you have a bitter outlook about everybody in general. Maybe if you see Emily, you'll realize that there's hardness there, too. Once you understand that you had a lucky escape, I think you'll be a happy man from then onward. Anyhow, forget about Emily. She's not worth mentioning. Think of this opera. Oh, Louis, I believe it's magnificent. The story's taken from the novel by a Scottish gentleman, Sir Walter Scott. And the story may be a lesson to you. It shows what happens to the brain when love lays too great a hold.
Oh, if you think it'll help me to see this opera and to go out among people, I'll do as you say, Pierre. But for my own part, all I want to do is to collect my belongings and rush back to Corsica.
Why so early, Paul?
Because I'm told, dear, that one should not miss one single minute of this opera.
Quite true. In Naples, it was a sensation. And this new prima donna...
I know who caused the greatest sensation of the opera house tonight.
Who?
Did you look at yourself in the mirror before you came out of the room?
Did she look at herself in the mirror? For half an hour, monsieur. Without moving, she stared at herself.
You grew more beautiful every day, Emily. And in black velvet. I've never seen you wear black velvet before. It's always been silver and blues and the pastel colors. That black velvet and pearls. Somehow, Emily, it gives you a new warmth, a new fire.
I shall tell you a secret, monsieur. She had the dress on earlier in the day, just to make sure all would be perfect. Nothing of the kind in it. It was just that I couldn't resist trying on a dress with the pearls. But it ages me, don't you think so, Paul?
No, not at all. The white feathers behind your hair are such a genius.
Only to match my own. Oh, but here we are, Paul. And crowds on each side of the opera house to see us as we walk in.
Yes, indeed. And you'll be the sensation when you appear in the box, not the prima donna.
Your opera box.
Thank you. After you, Emily. And you in it.
Thank you. Oh, Emily, such a privilege to sit here with you. Opera house is crowded.
That, of course, is to be expected. They do.
Well, look in it. Over there in the box office. Frédéric Chopin, Georges Sand. And isn't that Victor Hugo down below?
Yes.
I have lately read some divine poetry which he wrote. Autumn Leaves.
Poetry? What about his drama, The Hunchback of Notre Dame? Magnificent piece of work.
I've heard about it, but not as yet read it.
Well, I shall find you a copy tomorrow. It's an unforgettable book, Emily. A book that was...
Emily, look. Across your right. Oh, Emily, it is he.
Who?
Louis de Franchi.
Shh. What did you say?
Nothing. I
heard what you said, but I wanted to make sure. Which is Louis de Franchi? Well, those that are staring, which is Louis de Franchi?
The gentleman who sits in the box. Seven from the other side on this floor.
The young one?
Yes. Paul, where are you going? Paul, come back. Oh, Annette, what have you done?
I was so surprised. I didn't realize.
If Annette, you'll see, what should I do? Even now, everybody looks up here.
Only because you're so beautifully dressed. And only because you're... Oh, I am really... Signor, look across. Louis de Franchi stares.
I ignore him. But I only hope and pray that my husband makes no scene. Here in the opera house, in a day room of all places.
Well, Louis, you've seen her.
Yes, Pierre.
What was your reaction?
It's incredible. She seems to have aged. She's a woman. When I knew her, she was a young, lovely girl. Now she's a woman. Proud, the same loveliness, but there's something...
The hardness I spoke about.
Perhaps that's it. She's not the girl I knew. She looks magnificent, yes. Look, opera glasses all over the house are turned on her. But somehow...
I was hoping she'd be here. I felt that if you saw her again, it might cure you.
Excuse me.
Oh, who are you?
This gentleman is Monsieur Louis de Franchi.
Yes.
I am Captain Chateau Renaud, husband of the young lady whom you once knew as Mademoiselle Emily Latouche.
Yes.
Stand up.
I beg your pardon?
Stand up, you swine.
What did you say?
I said swine, and that's what you are. Take that and that.
Why, you... You...
Oh, Louis. You, sir, proudly are friend of this swine. Tell him that my seconds will call upon him tomorrow. I leave a choice with him, whether it be pistols or swords.
The two men stared at each other belligerently, and a hush fell over the distinguished gathering in the Paris Opera House. Chateau Renaud's raised voice had drawn the attention of all present, and already there was a breathless expectation, a horrible anticipation in the air. What was to happen now? Make sure you hear the next exciting episode of The Corsican Brothers.